This week on Come Receive the Light, we begin a brand new month-long series on being heard, effective communication, which sometimes is not all that positive.
You know, St. Theophan writes about curiosity as a sin of needing to know everything without it being useful. And gossip is a form of inappropriate curiosity.
Do you fall into that trap of gossiping sometimes? It's insidious, isn't it? It just creeps into our conversation. And sometimes we don't know how to stop, how to get out of it.
You know, this happens so often on the telephone, in emails, in social media, very much, and just in general social situations. So wherever a person is tempted to do this or feels drawn into this passion, it's important that they recognize that and they find a way to practically stop it.
Well, that's one of the many questions we're going to answer on this edition of Come Receive the Light from the Orthodox Christian Network. How do you stop gossiping? Stay tuned.
This type of outreach and service doesn't have to happen, you know, in a homeless shelter or in a nursing home or overseas in the mission field in Kenya or India or Indonesia. But it all begins right down the street and just showing up with an open heart, letting the Holy Spirit fill it and let you know how you're going to need to respond to your neighbor in need right there and in the moment.
That's the winner of our 2012 Hero Award from OCN, and we'll listen to that conversation with Father Chris in just a moment. Again, welcome to our broadcast for another week here on Come Receive the Light. I'm Mike Trout. Our host, as I said, is Father Christopher Metropoulos, and we present this broadcast each week here on this station. You can also listen to the program on our website at myocn.net. That's myocn.net. What a wonderful resource you will find that website to be. If you're interested in more information about the Orthodox Christian faith, then I encourage you to go to the website. There is plenty of information there, and we have a number of other resources, our online radio stations, which you can listen to 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. We have our blog, The Sounding, which gives you an opportunity to interact with other Christians and individuals around the world on a variety of subjects. Plus, of course, the archives on these broadcasts and an opportunity to join with us as a partner. We're a nonprofit outreach, and we do appreciate the participation, the financial participation of those who want to be a part of this ministry. It's all on the website, myocn.net. And now with our first conversation with Kenny Kidd, the winner of our 2012 OCN Hero Award. Here's Father Chris.
Let me put a little bit of background into this. Last year we had a contest where we asked individuals literally around the world on our website at myocn.net to go in and nominate those individuals that they felt were giving of themselves in a Christian way to others, more so than anything they've seen, and what they've learned from these people. And I'm happy to tell you it's anonymous. We can't tell you who actually nominated him. But he was nominated, and the staff selected him as the winner. Kenny Kidd, Annual Gifts Officer, OCMC. He's on the line with me now, I would imagine, from OCMC headquarters.
Yes, here in St. Augustine, just up the highway from you, Father. Christ is risen.
Truly, he's risen. So, Kenny, what do you think? Did you know anything about this?
Very appreciative, Father. Thank you so much. No, it came as a complete surprise when I found out.
Well, we felt it's about time that people started honoring those who help others and who think of others before themselves, rather than we just hearing about, you know, in the news media, they say, if it bleeds, it leads. And we're really not going to follow that kind of a direction or a theme. We feel that there are many good things that happen in people's lives, and we want to raise those up so that others can see them. Kenny, you're involved in many, many nonprofits. What are one or two of the memories that stand out in your mind that we can share with our listeners?
Oh, it's been, I'm a convert to Orthodoxy. It's been, I came into Orthodoxy in during Holy Week of 1997. And such a large part of my journey has just been my heart and my mind opening to my brothers and sisters that surround me. I remember early in my life that so much of my life was just me and Christ growing up. But coming into the Orthodox faith, I became so aware of the body of Christ and the church, and my responsibility and the communion that I share, that I really began, it opened my mind to people around me. And that was not only in the parish, but, you know, in the grocery store and in the gas station and driving down the highway and those that were on the streets and in need as well. And so a beautiful thing with some of the ministries I've been involved in is just really, and this is, it hasn't always been easy, but it's been a struggle just to really come to terms with the stereotypes I have, mm-hmm. and that were living deep down in my heart that I realized, and really to begin to break those down and see people as in the image and likeness of God and my brothers and sisters. So one of those truly has been probably with a homeless program that I used to work at in up in Asheville, North Carolina. And there was a young man that, by all intents and purposes, his name was Stephen, met every stereotype that someone might have going in if someone that was homeless and living on the streets, struggling with mental illness, struggling with addiction problems, had not had any communication with any of his family members for many, many years, and was pretty much living by himself. He would often mumble to himself. He'd be angry often. And over the course of around 3 years, I really got to know Stephen, and he began to open up to me. And I truly began to see all of those beautiful things that we always shared in common, but were always masked by my stereotypes, but also some of his, unique personality traits and some of the things he was struggling with. Mm-hmm. And so all of that, I never really saw, you know, the things that we shared. And it was on a road trip, he finally decided, after about 15 years, that he wanted to be reunited with his mother, with his sisters, his extended family, which lived in southern Ohio, only a few miles, or probably about an hour away from where I had grown up in West Virginia. So going home for Christmas, I took him up to see his family and to reunite them. And on that car ride, again, I truly began to see how we are all created, you know, in God's image and likeness, and how those barriers and those stereotypes, all that broke down to our most common denominator as brothers in Christ. So that's one of the more beautiful stories of that growth in that relationship that I've come to discover.
Does the work with nonprofits, because people will always say, well, I don't see God in that person. And I always reverse that and I say, well, do you have God within you? Because if God is not within you, you don't have the prism or the lens through which to see that another person has God in them. So I'm wondering, with both your jobs and your volunteer work, how does that outreach relate to your faith?
And again, I always reflect back. My catechism was such an amazing time for me. And over these years, I learned that God called us to two very beautiful things, to love our neighbor and to love God. And I've really taken to heart that really loving our neighbor and coming to a deeper understanding over these past 16 years of what that means. And so that doesn't mean judging my neighbor, which is what's really led to come to understanding of what those stereotypes I held with me, and when do I, what causes me to cross over and begin to judge somebody, to think I know what they've been through and what their life is like and make snap judgments about them. Well, it's not my job. God will take care of all that. But my job, while during these years that I'm here, are just to love my neighbor and to be there and to show up and to serve them as they need to be served. And that perfectly ties in my deeper understanding of just finding new ways and love the way that Christ would love our neighbors.
You know, Kenny, some people I hear many times, well, I'm not going to get involved. I don't want to donate to something because really I can't do enough. I mean, there's no way for me to make a difference in poverty or in hunger. Is that true from your experience?
Not, and Father, and please correct me. I'm not a theologian. Mm-hmm. I'm just a lay servant. So if I dance on some theological line, then please jump in there.
But no, go ahead.
In my understanding, so much of what we're called to do and to be, that the Holy Spirit is living in us, and He's beside us, and the Holy Spirit is working ahead of us and preparing hearts ahead of us. So it's not so much what we really have to plan and think and do anything to to serve our neighbor or to serve our community. But in my experience, it seems like a lot of what Christ is asking us to do is just show up. To show up with an open heart and an open mind and open ourselves to God's will. Because he knows who we're going to meet tomorrow when we're standing in line at the grocery store, or, you know, who we're going to encounter on the highway. And so this type of outreach and service doesn't have to happen, you know, in a homeless shelter or in a nursing home or overseas in the mission field in Kenya or India or Indonesia. But it all begins right down the street. And just showing up with an open heart, letting the Holy Spirit fill it and let you know how you're going to need to respond to your neighbor in need right there and in the moment.
You know, I think at the very core of a person is the desire to help other people. I've heard many priests say this. I've heard many volunteers and nonprofits, they'll get down about an issue that will be going on, and they say, you know, when I'm down or when I feel that things aren't going right, I just go out and I try to help other people. And when I do that, I begin to see that my issues are really not important and that I can touch people with God in many, many, many ways. But we have a tendency not to do that because we get stuck in the rut that says, well, no, I really can't make a difference. And making a difference in just one person's life is totally worth it, don't you think?
Oh, of course. Exactly. And we may never know the true impact of that. And I believe, is it St. Seraphim of Sarov? Acquire the spirit of peace and 1,000 around you will be saved.
Absolutely.
And just when you meet someone and serve somebody, you may never know the ripple effect that has. And it's just being okay with that and just being there in that moment. And you may never know how that person may then pay it forward and that those people may pay it forward to two more people.
And obviously helping others is critical to our own salvation too, is it not?
Exactly. And that's, I come back to, we're called to love God and to love our neighbor as a part of each of our journeys in Christ and with all of our brothers and sisters.
For those who are listening who feel inspired, they want to get involved, or, you know, maybe they say, you know, I do what Kenny does, or I like to do what Kenny does. Where can they start? What could they do? Where can you point them?
There's so many beautiful organizations, and it just starts with turning in prayer to Christ and to God and thinking, okay, what are those gifts and talents that God gave me, and what could I be doing with them? You know, we're all going to be called to different places, and it's just being peaceful, being silent, listening to God, and discerning, you know, where that is. And some are going to be called to begin, you know, going into their local schools. Some are going to be called to go to the nursing home. Others may be called to go to the shelter. Some may be called right away to even contact us at OCMC or IOCC and Focus and really go out into the world. And so there's so many opportunities, especially in the Orthodox circles here in the church, with a variety of nonprofits. But it can start right there in your own neighborhood, and you begin meeting your neighbors out in the community if you're serving at a school. And it's beautiful because eventually that conversation is going to start, that someone's going to look at you and say, oh, well, where do you go to church? You know, and they're going to say, oh, I go to such and such Orthodox church. And that'll start the conversation. Oh, well, what's Orthodoxy? I've never heard of that church. And so that witness begins right there, just being present in your own neighborhood. And as simple a place as volunteering over at your school or the local nursing home.
Tremendous. Kenny, as you know, there is a $500 gift that will be given to a charitable organization of your choice.
Oh, thank you so much.
I don't know if you're ready to give us where you want that money to go, but if you are, you can tell me now, or we'll talk about it sometime afterwards.
Oh, yeah, I may have to pray on that a little bit,
All
Father.
All right, you can
thank
do
you
that.
So much. I did hear about that, but I hadn't really prayed on to see where that would be best put
Excellent.
To use, but thank you so much for that offering.
Well, it's OCN's honor. Again, we have on the line with us Kenny Kidd. He's our 2013 OCN Hero. Currently the annual gifts officer at OCMC, the Orthodox Christian Mission Center, which is a sister agency of the Assembly of Canonical Bishops, along with OCN, IOCC, and many, many others. Again, Kenny, congratulations. Thank you for all you do. May God continue to inspire you and inspire others through you.
Thank you so much, Father.
And I'm sure we'll hear a lot more from Kenny Kidd as the months and years go by. You're listening to the Orthodox Christian Network broadcast, Come Receive the Light. And we could say the same thing that Father Chris just said to Kenny Kidd, to you. May the Lord continue to bless you and inspire others through you. You know, that's one of the reasons why we exist as a ministry and an outreach, to provide you with inspiration and provide you with tools that will help you to bless others. Guide them toward our website. That's the first step. It's myocn.net, myocn.net. And don't forget that we look forward to having you pray for us and perhaps become a financial partner with us. There is a group we call the Share the Light Partners. These are individuals who have committed a certain amount of giving over a 12-month period. It's so important for us as we budget and make plans for the future to have that kind of understanding, just who's out there and how much they plan to donate during the next 12 months. If you'd like to join with us, just click on the Donate Now button on the website. And now with our feature conversation, all about gossiping. Here again is Father Chris.
Korea Maggie Hawk is the North American Director of the Antiochian Department of Marriage and Parish Family Ministries. She's fully licensed and a credentialed psychotherapist and mediator, a friend of this program who's been on many, many times before. Maggie, welcome back.
Thank you. It's good to be with you again.
I've got a juicy story to tell you about someone. Oh, no, I'm not supposed to do that.
Oh, Father.
I'm not supposed to do that.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to speak about how you express yourself without gossiping today.
Mm-hmm.
So let's start out with, tell me the difference between telling a story and gossiping.
Okay, well, the difference, as I see it, between telling a story and gossiping is that gossip involves talking about a third person who's not usually present and about whom the details being told are without their knowledge and are generally negative.
People don't gossip these days, though, do they?
Oh, gossip is so prevalent in every area of our lives. You know, when you think of business, in the media, even in our own families and in the church, I think that it's such a part of human nature that people aren't even aware of it.
It is true. It is true. Many people I know, when they're in conversations, they'll come to me in confession and they'll say, you know, I was there and they were talking and talking and I didn't know what to do. I didn't know how to extract myself from the conversation. So let's help our listeners out. What are some of the red flags that a conversation has gone from a good sharing to a gossip?
Well, that's good to know that, because the red flags that signal gossip are usually idle talk, which is invasive of someone's privacy or of breaking their confidence, and is harmful because it can also be critical and condemning of the person. You know, St. Theophane writes about curiosity as a sin of needing to know everything without it being useful.
Hmm.
And gossip is a form of inappropriate curiosity.
I guess the question that would follow that is, why then is gossip so harmful? Why does it do so much damage?
Well, gossip is so harmful because it is the most destructive form of communication. It's about someone who isn't there, who can't share their perspective. In fact, even with serious bullying, it usually begins with gossip or rumors that have the potential to destroy their victim.
Mm-hmm.
Gossip is a very serious sin, and its root, of course, is pride and control.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, gossip can be very dangerous, and usually it's sort of veiled in other conversations. I mean, I've seen it before, veiled in concern. You know, I'm so worried about that person, but do you know what they're doing? Where extremely private information can be shared,
mm-hmm.
and then it ends in something about feeling so bad for the person.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, how can we keep from not only doing this, but also from even hearing it? Because as we know, the senses are the ways that the evil one can enter into us.
Yes, that's a really good way to put it. And it's important to pay attention to the persons you're with and the dynamic of where the conversation's going. And you need to be vigilant about this because it is so often subtle. Veiled, as you said, is a really good way to describe it.
Mm-hmm.
So if the conversation turns to private information, you need to take yourself out of it. You might even say something like, Lord have mercy, cross yourself and walk away. Or you could say something like, my ears and mouth are fasting from gossip. But avoiding those who you know have the passion of gossip is an important step in doing that, because there are those people that just always want to bend your ear. And by all means, if you're the one gossiping, you need to stop it.
Well, I can hear the listeners saying to us now, well, Maggie, that sounds great, and Father, that sounds great, but do you realize that if I do that, I may just lose that friend that I have? How do we respond to that, Maggie?
Well, I would say, is that truly a friend? Because if that person is gossiping about someone else and you think that they're your friend, as soon as you turn your back, they'll be gossiping about you.
Oh, that's so true. That's so true.
Yes, uh-huh. But you know, there are practical things, Father, that you can do to stop this this gossiping, as I mentioned, you know, walking away from it. But you need to identify when this is happening. You know, this happens so often on the telephone, in emails, in social media, very much, and just in general social situations. So wherever a person is tempted to do this or feels drawn into this passion, it's important that they recognize that and they find a way to practically stop it. And I suggested for many people that they do something like place the prayer of St. Ephrem on their computer or by their phone, where they know that they're tempted to get into idle talk and gossip.
Well, our faith, and clearly the teachings of the faith, are the filter through which our thoughts and our writing and our speech, I mean, all that should go through that. And if it fits through that filter, okay. If it doesn't, well, then it may mean you shouldn't be involved in that kind of activity. I mean, let's be honest. We've all experienced someone who honestly may have done something even bad to us.
Yes.
And then what happens, we usually want to share that. We want to talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
So how does that situation fit into our conversation today?
Well, first of all, what you said is right, because we do have very harmful situations where we don't really know what to do sometimes with that information. So it's really important that you have a trusted confidant in a situation where you've been wronged. And especially, you don't want to return evil for evil. So we want to begin by praying for the person that sinned against us and give that situation into God's very capable hands to deal with it. But going beyond that, if the circumstance is extreme, however, I would advise talking with a trusted priest or a therapist, and if it rises to a criminal level, consult some legal counsel about it.
That's a good point. That's a good point. Mm-hmm. Well, I'd love to close with you sharing some of your favorite quotes. You've mentioned a few quotes today from some of the fathers, but let's listen to some more on gossiping from either Scripture or even the Holy Fathers.
Well, probably my favorite is what we pray at Vespers. As a matter of fact, I often catch myself crossing myself as we pray this from Psalm 140 in Vespers, where it says, "Set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth and a door round about my lips. Incline not my heart to evil words to make excuses in sins." And the reason why this means so much to me is because often when we are tempted to gossip or we hear someone gossip, they say, "Well, I just this," or "I just that." And any time we say "just," it's a justification for why we're doing something that's wrong. So this scripture reminds me to put that door around my lips so that that doesn't happen. And these words really must work their way into our heart in order for them to affect our lips.
Maggie Hawk, always a pleasure to have you on the program. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you. It's my honor to be with you.
What a great beginning to our new month-long theme of being heard. By the way, if you'd like to review that verse again that Maggie just mentioned, if you don't have an Orthodox Bible, then you'll find it in the 141st Psalm in your Bible, the third verse. This is Come Receive the Light from the Orthodox Christian Faith. We continue this theme next week with a fascinating conversation about being heard through social media.
I think a lot of people suffer from social anxiety and feel awkward and uncomfortable interacting with people live, and look to using the internet as a substitute for that rather than as a supplement. And I think it's got a danger for those people. They're not forced to develop those skills to become, capable of interacting with people in a personal way. And especially young people who, you know, going through adolescence often feel incredibly awkward and self-conscious. It's an easier way to hide. And I'm not so sure that it's good for us, because part of, you know, in order to become a fully mature and functioning adult, you kind of have to go through that awkward period and endure those uncomfortable social interactions to learn how to navigate them. I think you have to expose yourself and you have to go through embarrassment and awkwardness and sort of try different things. I think that's how you over time develop confidence. And if you're not challenged that way, if you're able to sort of hide behind an easy way of communicating like social media, there may be a delay or even a halt to that type of development. So I am concerned about that. And I think A certain amount of time online and communicating social media is inevitable and probably fine and healthy, but it's when it becomes a substitute rather than a supplement that I think people get into trouble.
That's next week at this same time on Come Receive the Light as we continue our theme for the month of June of being heard. Something for everyone here on this broadcast. I hope you'll share the fact that we're on the air with your friends and tell them about our website, myocn.net. I encourage you to check out the website, consider becoming a financial partner with us, and please pray for the ministry. We do look forward to hearing from you, knowing what you think, and perhaps helping you in some way. We want to be a blessing to you and an encouragement. And please remember that you are the best promotional tool we have. Share the fact that we're on the air again with your friends. And remember to always have faith in what you listen to.